Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
You know, this past week, on Tuesday evening, I had a very unusual dream, and I didn't have pizza, because then I would have forgotten the dream. But I very seldom dream and actually remember what I have dreamt. And I dreamt that I went to my oldest granddaughter, she's 14, I went to her school, and I found her in the swimming pool. And she looked very distraught and helpless in the pool. She was fine, but on the pool, the bottom of the pool, there was a girl lying on her back. And it looked as if she was drowning or she had already drowned. And in my dream, it's like a nightmare. You know, you know what you're going to do. I mean, yesterday was 16 years since we lost our little three-year-old grandson. So it's something that may have played on my mind. I don't know. But the thing is, in my dream, I'm like, somebody, please, will you come and help this girl? And I think part of the dream, I can't remember who it was, but I think it was Pastor Andre helped me to get the girl out of the pool. And I was then shouting, and people just walking past, the teachers, the students, and I was shouting like, CPR, anybody? And eventually I just thought, well, if it's going to be, it's going to be up to me in this dream. And I started doing CPR, never done it in my life. And she revived. But the first thing she said to me was, I want to die. Almost like, why on earth did you go to all this trouble? I actually don't want to live. I want to die. And in my dream, like ministry mode kicked in. And my dream ended with me saying these words to her. I'm going to tell you why you should not die. And you know, when I woke up, I shared this dream with Pastor Andre. And I said, I felt God really speak to me. Because I felt like for us who know God and for those of us in the ministry, this is very often what it's like out there. People are dying spiritually. Their dreams are dying. Their hopes are dying. And no one seems to care. And everyone just walks past and, you know, doesn't bother. And even sometimes the people themselves who are dying spiritually or who have dreams that have died don't feel there's any point in people helping and resuscitating their dreams or even their spiritual lives. And my hope tonight is to breathe with the help of the Holy Spirit, some spiritual air, breath into our lungs, and to help us and to encourage us tonight. That's what I want to do, to live this life and keep our dreams alive. You know, we sang amazing words of songs tonight. You know, if you just can remember what they were, it's a wonderful thing to know God, to be in the presence of God, and to put our hope in a living God. Amen. And maybe you're looking back this year, maybe this year was your best year ever. Who can say 2016 was your best year ever? There are a couple. And that's good, because we all through our lives will have a year like that. That wasn't my year, suffice to say, but I'm happy to step into a new year. But maybe you've come into this point, this is the last night of 2016, and you're saying, you know what, I'm feeling disappointed, I'm feeling despondent, and I'm actually feeling quite depressed because things did not go according to plan. Perhaps you're in a valley. And you are so low, and you're saying, you know what, it feels like the valley of dried bones. It's like everything's gone. My marriage is over. You know, I was retrenched. What hope is there for me? Well, we saw tonight with Tanya's story, it might be a different context, but who is it that we are serving? We're serving a mighty God who's on our side. If God is for us, church, who can be against us? Amen. I always hold on to that. Even when we were attacked earlier this year, I just held on to the fact that if God is for me, who can be against me? Bring it on. God is for me. Amen. No matter what we are facing. So maybe you have come to this point and you say, okay, yes, it is my marriage. You know what? It is my finances. I've struggled. My business closed down. It's the second time I'm bankrupt. My family relationships, just we can't seem to get it going. My health is not where it should be. I'm having addiction problems and I'm so ashamed. My studies, I lost someone that was close to me. No matter what it looks like, you name it. Maybe doors closed for you this year. Pastor Andre spoke about open doors and open windows. And maybe you just feel, I knocked on every door and every door this year was closed for me. I've got good news for you as we look one final look at 2016. And I have to say that we're stepping into our tomorrow. And Jesus is already in our tomorrow. Amen. He's already there and he is calling us towards 2017. And we've got to believe God for the best. We've got to believe that even if we've had hiccups along the way, the best is yet to come. Lamentations 3:21 is also a fantastic verse to help us in the message. It reads, but there's one thing I remember, and remembering, I keep grip on hope. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. No matter, you know what? Jeremiah was in a very bad place, and time won't allow me to go into the detail of it, but he was in a very, very bad place, and he was saying this, and I don't even know if you're in such a bad place, but he says God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They created new every morning, how great your faithfulness. Church, that's us tomorrow morning. The slate is clean in God. There is not just a second chance. There are many chances with God. He's for you. He's on your side. He believes that you can do what you've been called to do as a father, as a husband, as a businessman, as a teacher, as a lawyer, whatever it is. Amen. God is already in your future. And I've entitled tonight, expecting the but now moments. Because there are many verses in the Word of God where but now comes, and it usually comes with the goodness of God. And sometimes we could be so focused on the negativity around us that we forget but now. Jesus steps into the situation and things are going to be better and things are going to look good for me. It's a wonderful truth that when God comes into our lives, things don't just fall into place immediately. Things do still go wrong. We still will have trouble in this world. Jesus said, but he has overcome this world. But you know what? We can expect the but now moments of God in every situation. Tanya had a but now moment. It was final. It was finished. This was what was pronounced over her. But now there was a breakthrough in her life. When Jesus stepped on the scene, as you read the Word of God, things always changed for the better. Have you noticed that? Whenever Jesus landed on a shore or he walked through the fields, there were people with needs, people with questions, and he always met with their needs. I know that not everything Jesus did is written in the Word of God, but you can be sure that Jesus made this world a better place. It was like that then. It's the same as it was now. Amen? With Jesus, things do just get better. He turns things around. There's an expectation. And my first thought this evening is, when Jesus steps in, expect dead things to come to life. Again, you name it. You tell yourself, I know exactly what she's telling me. I know what she's talking about to me. She doesn't know what she's saying, but to me, I know exactly what's dead in my life. After Lazarus died, there was heartbreak. But now suddenly Jesus is on the scene. And I was meditating on this. Sometimes it may seem like we cry out to God and we bawl our eyes out to God for something to not die or someone to not die, and then it happens. And you almost feel like, Lord, why did you let that happen? This thing is dead in my life. Well, I have a question. Is it? Who says? Who says it's dead? Because when Jesus came on the scene, Lazarus lived again. And it's a picture for us that dead things are not dead until God says it is dead. Amen. You know, in Christ, he's made us alive. It's a miracle that we have been made alive in Christ. Do we really think that's where it ends? That's probably the greatest miracle of it all, is that we are no longer destined for a lost eternity, but we are destined to spend eternity with Christ. Amen. But do we think that's all Jesus is interested in? It's just your eternal destiny. He's very interested in that. And he had a salvation plan that he worked along to make it a reality. But he's interested in our everyday lives. I mean, it doesn't end there in Ephesians 2:4. Just for the sake of looking at a scripture that speaks about how we've been made alive, it says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. Keep trusting God for the but now moments in our lives. Amen. Number two, when Jesus steps in, expect that he brings grace. Oh, this is a fantastic one, because we are so hard on ourselves and we are so hard on others. And we see this account in the Word of God where a woman who was caught in adultery, she was supposed to die. She was supposed to be stoned, and that was what was the order of the day. But now, because of the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Jesus and his grace, she has another opportunity. It says in John 8, verse 7, when they continued to ask Jesus their question, these were the Pharisees, the church leaders, the people who know the word back to front. He raised up and said, anyone here who has never sinned can throw the first stone at her. Then Jesus bent over again and wrote on the ground. Those who heard Jesus began to leave one by one, first the older men and then the others. Jesus was left there alone with a woman standing before him. Jesus raised up again and asked a woman, where are they? Has no one judged you guilty? She answered, no, sir. Then Jesus said, I also don't judge you guilty. You may go now, but don't sin anymore. Isn't that beautiful? You may go now, but don't sin anymore. You know, Jesus shows grace to the humble, not to the rebellious, because you don't hear about her coming back for a second go at her adultery. In fact, Jesus said to her, in other words, you're forgiven, I'm showing you grace, but now stop it. Turn around. Walk my way. Do things my way. Amen. So the thing that is important is that Jesus forgave her, he defended her, and embarrassed her accusers. I love this, that people who are so hectically religious, Jesus embarrassed them, even though they thought they were right. With God, things are always different. There's always the but now moment with Jesus. Amen? You know, the prodigal son only ran away from home once. Selah. Do you know what I'm saying? Where I'm going with grace is that sometimes people can be so dependent on grace all the time that they don't change their ways. But now, do not sin anymore, was her turning point for this woman after she was defended and after Jesus stood up for her. The third thought this evening is, when Jesus steps in, expect him to take the scales off our eyes. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen? The scales off our eyes. You know, a blind man needed to be healed. And you know, in John 9:25, just to cut it down again, is this whole long story where Jesus healed this blind man who was born blind, and the Pharisees were at it again, trying to trap Jesus and trying to say, that man's a sinner, he didn't heal you. And so it went on and on and on. And finally, the man who was blind and now healed said, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. You know, we were all blind before Jesus took the scales off our eyes. Do you know, I was quite young when I came to know the Lord, but you know, for about 5 years, even as a teenager, from 15 to 20, so many people witnessed to me. In Cape Town those days, they were the Jesus freaks. And I just couldn't see it. I just couldn't see what they were talking. I couldn't understand it. It was like one of my friends had to probably pray and say, Lord Jesus, please, God, have mercy on this dumb chick. Please, can you just take the scales off her eyes? And then suddenly a hunger came into my heart and a thirst. You know, that's what God does. He helps us. He leads us to repentance. But now when God steps in, he opens our eyes and the scales fall off. Amen? He turns our light, our darkness into light, and he lights the way for us. That's what Jesus does. You know, I've failed many tests in the area of blindness. I haven't always had the compassion on people that I realize today that I do have. It's quite pathetic in a way. The way I drive in my car and I see people and I just say, Lord, I love people. I love people. I love people. I love people. What's going on with me? Am I losing my marbles? Jesus has taken the scales off my eyes. I'm not so suspicious of people like I used to be. I'm not so hard on people. I give people the benefit of the doubt. Amen? This cannot be me getting the credit, church. And if you, like me, you've had a revelation of, you know, God opening your eyes to the needs of people out there, let it really be all the glory goes to him. Be patient with yourself. I've nearly been married 44 years, and so we got saved. We gave our hearts to the Lord in 1974, so that's going to be 43 years next year. And it's a long time to walk with the Lord. I don't pat myself on the shoulder in case you think I was a perfect Christian or my Christian walk. But having said that, one thing I've had to learn is that I'm a work in progress. That, you know, Jesus is doing a work in me. And that, you know, sometimes it's a little bit like the blind man in Mark chapter 8 who was healed, but he couldn't actually see clearly at the beginning. And Jesus had to touch him a second time until he could see clearly. First he saw men as trees. You know, and God spoke to me many, many years ago when we were still in the little building, and I shared a word about this very verse, about how I used to see people as trees. You know what? Trees are inanimate. They don't have a soul. Some people do believe that they can speak to trees and they respond and all of that stuff. But you know what? If you see people as trees, Jesus has begun a work in you. But actually, he wants you to see people as people. Amen? And so it's a little bit like 1 Corinthians 13 as well, where it reads that, you know, when, you know, once I was a child, you know, I thought like a child, I behaved like a child, but now that I am a man, I've put away childish things. I see through a glass dimly, but then I will see him face to face. Can you relate to that? We don't know it all. Even after 43 years of serving the Lord, I don't know it all. I don't have it all. But one thing I know, God is at work in me because he loves me and you, and he has a purpose and a plan for our lives. And then fourthly, when Jesus steps in, expect him to take away our shame. Who doesn't have shame? We all have shame. There's something in our lives that has either been done to us, or we did it ourselves, and we are ashamed of it. Well, come on now. Come on now. But now, Jesus, let him take away that shame so that you can move past and move into your 2017. Amen? With strength and with belief and with Jesus at your side. Amen? And so, you know, Zechariah's wife in Luke chapter 1, verse 24, she was barren. Now, who knows? That's not something you can help. It just happens. But she speaks about being ashamed. And it says here, later, Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant. Elizabeth said, look what the Lord has done for me. My people were ashamed of me, but now the Lord has taken away that shame. You know, there, as I said, is what can be done to us and what we can't help. And what we can't help, like being born poor, we can't help. I was considered a poor white in my neighborhood. I know you read my book, it's there. You know, holes in my shoes. And I know, church, where we are now in 2016, on the brink of 2017, what that sounds like is still richer than the poorest of the poor in our nation. Amen? And we see that through the Rivers Foundation, and we reach out to those people. But I was ashamed. I was ashamed that my father was an alcoholic. I was ashamed that I was one of six children and we had to share everything and it wasn't enough for everyone and we were mocked and teased. I was ashamed. But now, Jesus came into my heart at the age of 20. Amen? And maybe that's your story. Maybe there's something else that shames you. You know what? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of your family. Don't be ashamed of the people who are broken in your family. Amen? Do not be ashamed. It says in Psalm 34, verse 5, all who look to him are radiant. That's you and I. Their faces will never, never be covered with shame. You know, when we let Jesus in and we allow the but now moments, like that was then on Signal Hill in 1963, but this is now in 2016 and going on to 2017, where Jesus has done such a work in my life and those around me. Amen. So the last two thoughts this evening. The first little dot there, I've put in my notes, we should not live with the rewards, but not the responsibility. If you know anything about God, God is all about purpose. All about purpose. He doesn't want to do something for Tanya, and now she's got this wonderful, she can walk with pride. God is, you know what God has done for me, hey? You know? Or, you know, it's about purpose. What God does for us is to give us something to use to his honor and to his glory. We can't just be promoted at work. We can't just be living in beautiful homes and driving lovely cars and wearing beautiful shoes and look what the Lord has done for me, as Elizabeth was saying. Actually, why? But now what that you've got that? But now what is your but now what? Since I've been blessed by the Lord, am I supporting the Rivers Foundation? Am I bringing people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Because now my eyes have been opened and because now I know him and he's a good God. He's a good, good father. Amen? So we can't just live with the rewards. Otherwise, it's a me, me, me Christianity, and none of us want to fall into that bracket. Amen. Matthew 10, verses 8 says, freely you have received, freely give. In your 2017, but now, recognize how freely you have received. Count your blessings and now freely give. Pass on the message. If you've got nothing to give, the best you can give is to share your story. Tell of what God has done in your life. Amen. Our testimonies and stories are a powerful tool to the glory and honor of God. Amen. And if we've been blessed financially, let's see what it says. In 2 Corinthians 9:11, it says, he will make you rich in every way so that you can always give freely. Do you know, it took me many, many years to get to this point where I fully understood, where the scale fell off my eyes, that I don't get offended when they ask for money in the church because I understood what it achieves. I mean, there's a purpose for why I'm blessed. I can't say it enough, and I repeat myself, but I live by it. It's not cliche. I am blessed to be a blessing. What about you? I believe that's the truth for each and every one of us. And then the last thought before Pastor Andre comes up is, if we've been touched by God, we in turn must touch others. It's a very similar thought as the previous one. But you know, when the woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched Jesus, something happened to her. Amen? And in many ways, although Jesus didn't touch her, he did touch her. And you know what we need to do in 2017 is reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. However that may look to you in a service or where you are gathered in a home connect group or whatever it is, we must make sure that when people come to us, come across our path, they find themselves in our company, that we touch them in the same way that God Himself has touched me. Amen. The word says, I once was lost, but now I am found. Anyone, is that your testimony? I once was lost, but now I am found.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.